The high mystical teaching of Christ and the infinite way is that you have never been a mortal man or a mortal woman. That's why your higher self has been saying to you, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Deny thyself means to lay down your mortality and to pick up your undivided, immortal self. This is the fulfillment of the biblical command to lay down your life for your friends. Because Christ is immortal as long as you linger in the belief that you are mortal. You are rejecting your Christ self. And you are rejecting the powers of Christ, the substance of Christ, the grace of Christ, the abundance of Christ, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ. All mortals are paying a high price for living as a house divided, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. It must die. All human problems stem from this unconscious division in the human consciousness. Immortal God and your own immortal self are one and must be lived in. Abiding in Christ means abiding in your undivided immortal self. Whoever abides in immortality blesses the world. There's no greater love you can express to your neighbor than to look past all forms to the one immortal self, who is the only self and the self of all. Let's try it right now. Feel the bond of oneness that encircles the world. Feel the undivided spirit that you are. Your neighbor's spirit. Other nations' spirit. All as one spirit. One undivided self. Breathe the immortality of your spirit every moment. Let it run free. Unconfined. Unconditioned by human thought, uncluttered by changing images in time, in meekness. Let your immortal self function without human interference, without human will, without human ambition, without human desire. Shift your identity from physical self to your spirit, to the allness of your spirit, and abide in the knowledge that everywhere in the entire creation where spirit is, you are now and forever. There is no one on this earth and in other universes, on other galaxies, who is not your own undivided self. It is all you, because it is all God. And that is the meaning of I and the Father are one. You have felt the everywhereness of your spirit from time to time. But then, you are unable to hold it. Now, you no longer can permit mortal mind to control you and shut you into mortality, into what Jesus called the tomb. You must come out of the tomb into your God self, into the realization of one universe, one universal self, one undivided self, because only one undivided self, get this, only one undivided self never dies. Please make that your theme song. Only one undivided self never dies, but lives forever. And then together, in oneness, let us spend all of this coming year learning that there are no physical bodies on this earth. There are physical images. Mortal images. But where they appear is the one undivided spiritual self called God. And when you learn that, when you practice that, you will know that there is no one inside all those physical bodies that you see. No one is inside those images. Everywhere is the one invisible I am, the undivided self. And that self, you are, I am, everyone is. We must practice, practice, practice. And no matter how difficult or frustrating, when we start to really live in our one undivided whole self, we will really know that we have found the cherished keys to the kingdom of my peace, my love, my eternal life. Let us always remember, one undivided self maintained in consciousness permanently, daily, is like Aladdin's lamp, only better. It performs all the miracles you have been seeking, and you don't even have to make a wish. Joel taught this, and perhaps I can explain it by reading a letter to you, which briefly touches on this subject. It was received here in Hawaii in September. It says, "My back is feeling much better, the best it has ever felt in 2.5 years. I still get surges of pain after I teach class or have tapped an excessive amount. I think we made a connection before my letter got to Hawaii. The night I mailed it, there was a huge windstorm, and house parts next to the house we are building began blowing. So about 3 a.m., in the wind and rain, we began gathering parts, and I found my center, as we call it in dance. It was a strength in my lower torso that became apparent with each breath. That was a very exciting experience for me. As you know, Joel reported many interesting incidents along this line. What happens is that, let's say you take or turn to someone in your consciousness, but unknown to you, even though that individual is 100 or 1,000 miles away, if that individual has realized the one undivided self, because that self is not only right where you are, but that undivided self is also yourself, you are then brought into the unconscious realization of the undivided self, which is God, which is Christ. And you see, your healing must then be instantaneous. There are no space or time limitations in the undivided self. Christ and God are one. When you touch Christ within yourself, you touch God. When Bible victims approached, or rather approached, Jesus for help, they were actually turning to the Christ within themselves, which you see is the undivided self of all. And so thousands of instantaneous healings took place. Scripture tells us about the one undivided self in many, many different ways. But unless you know the mystical code, you're apt to miss it. In the first chapter of St. John's Revelation, verses 10 to 11. Christ reveals the secret that stops the storm and cleanses the leper. Quote, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. This was an announcement of the undivided self, the secret of eternal life. Again in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. End of quote. Because past, present, and future are included in the undivided self of your being, time becomes obsolete, non-existent in spiritual reality. For the past and the future both exist in the timeless now. Your undivided self is timeless and eternal. Christ now, Christ then, are the same one undivided self. And knowing Christ now, you are realizing the eternal fullness of Christ, who always expresses the infinite substance, love, law, power, will, and activity of God. Abide in me. This is a statement from the infinite Christ. Abide in me means know me. Know who I am, and then abide in the undivided one self which I am and which you are. And then you will bear fruit infinitely. Again, the end of two-ness on earth, the end of man's separation from God, was heralded on earth by Hosea, the prophet, when he heard the inner voice declare to his soul, Thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali. Those breathtaking words have meant little to our world because we did not understand them. Ishi, I-S-H-I, means husband. Baali, B-A-A-L-I, means my Lord. And so the translation is, Thou shalt call me husband, and shall no more call me my Lord. God says we will call God husband and not Lord. What is this? It is a mystical statement that the soul of man shall call spirit its husband and not its lord. In other words, the marriage, the union of soul and spirit will be the experience and the recognition of God as the undivided self, that soul and God are one, soul and spirit are one, soul, spirit, and God are one. And when human sense sees through the universe of matter, of darkness, and sees through the inhabitants in material forms, when the veil of the glass darkly is lifted, you will find that divine wisdom mentioned by Hosea in chapter 2, verses 16 to 19. You can be sure that all this and infinitely more was in the consciousness of the great teacher, the infinite teacher called Jesus Christ, as the dream of crucifixion unfolded before the sleeping eyes of mankind. That was God's stage, as our world is today. The actors then were given a choice. Which prisoner should die? And the Pharisees, separated from the will and the Spirit of God, the frenzied mob, all decided to free a murderer and to crucify the Christ, the faithful servant of the infinite creator. The outer symbols clearly exposed the condition of the human mind: godless, self-righteous, self-glorifying, blinded by personal sense to Christ within. As the human race was crucifying itself within, crucifying its own inner Christhood by non-recognition, it was projecting its own self-destruction into a visible crucifixion of Jesus. And Jesus, the invisible Christ, was enacting the role of the crucified human race. Such was the stupendous scope of the greatest demonstration on earth. Mankind saw the crucified Jesus where the uncrucifiable Christ stood. The real teacher was eternal self, saying, stop doing this to yourself. This death scene is being played to teach you that death has no power over you when you know the truth that the undivided self, the kingdom of infinity, is you. That is why Christ will reappear. Now, watch this ultimate teaching unfold from within the heart of the Holy Wayshower on the cross. He hangs there on the cross. There's no fear. Why is there no fear? Because you only think you're looking at a crucifixion. You are not really seeing what your eyes tell you you are seeing. He is teaching that God is the only power. He's not intimidated by appearances, because He is living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He knows that He is not man, that He is the undivided self, one with God forever. He is awake, not asleep, in numinous. There is no personal me there in his consciousness to fear or to form material judgments. He knows his own spirit is the living presence of God. And where God is, death can never be. But now let's you and I stand with Christ now on the cross. Invisibly. Knowing the one undivided self is here. The one undivided self of God. I am. The indivisible Spirit of God, I am. Only God is here. There can be no external world to my infinite Spirit. There is no God and mortals. There is no God and Pharisees, no God and a human race. Thou seest me, thou seest my Father. There are no people out there crucifying me. I have already crucified the me that I am not. I, the invisible divine reality, am all that is here. Yes, I am the self of those who seek to crucify me. But they are crucifying a me that never existed. The same God that is here, the same I here, is the God, the I, over there. And God is not sharing space over there with the angry Pharisees. God is never absent or asleep in a personal me. We are seeing images of mortality moving across space and time. But awake in Christhood, we live in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, reality. And in this awareness, the cosmic illusion of death melts into nothingness. Time has vanished. We may have traveled more than a billion human days away from time. But we are only in the soul day, the fifth world. We must also travel to the spirit day, the sixth world, to see that the fifth world and the sixth world are united in holy marriage. And then we will live in the undivided self, the seventh world, the eternal day, from which we descended into a false state of consciousness. And these 3 days, soul, spirit, and eternal, the 3 days from which we descended into the fourth world, the world of time and man and mortality, from this fourth world, we must return from the time illusion to the eternal now. Every man travels these 3 days twice, down, then up. Down into the conditioned opposites of mortality, into the dream of time. Then up to the unconditioned reality that never changes, even while man dreams and struggles through the conflicts of his own mentally created lifespan. Let us hold the silence. Your true self is not a human fragment at the mercy of personal mortal sense. Christ is not atomic man or atomic woman. separated from the one infinite self. Christ never stops being Christ. Christ never lives in a tomb of mental flesh called physical body. Christ and God are one. And that one is the only one there is. Whoever appears in form on this earth is truly the one undivided self, which is never sick, never suffering, and never dies. That is the teaching of Christ on the cross. And it is the guarantee of glory, the divine assurance that now we truly are the sons of God. Be still and know that I am God. This also means, be still and know that you are the Son of God, the heir of God, the self of God, and the self of God is now. Do you remember the rest of that statement? It's in the 46th Psalm. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The indivisible I, the infinite, undivided oneself, which you are, is uncrucifiable. No weapon, no disease, no destruction can be formed against it. Wherever you live, without that conscious knowledge, you are unprotected against the illusions of physical power. Words of truth are straws in the mental wind. But sit in the midst of a flood or a whirlwind, consciously realizing the one undivided self called I is who you are. And I in the midst of you will reveal that divine power has no material opposite. You will be untouched. Now be still. Know that I, where you are, am God without end. all that God is now, your one undivided self is now. Trust it. In your undivided self, all tomorrows are today. Trust it. Always the fullness of now is functioning perfectly, independent of whatever appears to mortal sense. This unchanging, infinite now is the meaning of Son, all that I have is thine, because I am in the midst of you. With no personal me, false image of a world external to me loses its magnetic power. It can no longer entrap you or deceive you or entice you. Where the old external world used to be, you feel the presence of your universal self. You feel the weightlessness of the human bodies that pass by. Your new spiritual sense walks in the kingdom unseen by human eyes, liberated from the old mortal boundaries, limitations. New energy flows from an unseen source. Spiritual grace weaves its magic with divine substance, replacing your mental world with the divine manifestations of your soul. In this chapter, going beyond personal sense, to making the transition . Joel has a very strange statement on page 59. He says the word I, and he means little I, the word I is the devil. It's the I formed by prenatal, family, and environmental influences. When you make the transition to spiritual consciousness, you discover that there is no I that needs protection, healing, redeeming, or saving. There is no more I. No more personal sense of self, because now the vision of I am as God is revealed. We have all of 1987 to develop the spiritual consciousness that I am as God. So I'm recommending that you live in the undivided self. But never think you can do it by dropping it and coming back to it, dropping it and coming back to it. It can't be done. You must figure a way to develop your consciousness of staying in the undivided self. I think we should make that the theme of our Saturday and Sunday meditations at 2 a.m. California time. Most of you are out of daylight saving time, and so is California. And others who are in no daylight saving time ever, like Hawaii, will be with you at 2 a.m. California time. Our time will probably is 12 noon, and somewhere else it'll be 3 in the afternoon, 4. But we'll all be doing it in the now, 2 p.m. California time, every Saturday, every Sunday, realizing the presence of only the one undivided self on this earth. Nowhere do we accept the presence of a person, mortality, materiality, anything of a physical nature, or anything of a separated nature. Let us live in the one undivided self. Not only in Saturday and Sunday meditations, but let that be your springboard, your reminder to do it daily. Catch yourself when you're not doing it. Be still and let the undivided self catch you not doing it, but do it. Nobody will have to tell you why you're doing it once you are doing it. And then, when the new tapes come to you in 1987, one every second month as before, I will know that you are in the one undivided self, and the talks on those tapes will be geared to that level. All this, preliminary to moving into 1988, into the seminar called Transition, and I do mean the supreme transition. So for now, it's a joy to wish you a joyous holiday season.